That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open. I'm Zo.
I'm Dan.
Cut the dead weight today, two-man cosmic channels crew.
Yes, the double pillars of the show. We are the foundation.
Braden is moving. Computer wasn't set up. Andrew's friend of a friend is out in the bus.
Getting us a juicy mongoose file.
Yeah, no big deal. So if you got a story, a theory, you just want to talk to us, the line's now open. 1-833-703-0424. Rehashing, if the story starts with you were sleeping, you got to provide immediate clarification if you woke up before something happened. Other than that, it's free for all. Whatever you want to talk about. You want to give a story about UFO, Bigfoot. You want to talk about if it's possible to move the moon and or Earth in our solar system to change climate change. Please call in and give us your theories.
The people you want to ask is the people in the Bureau of Land Management or the National Forestry Service, apparently. Those are the people who would know. You want to ask about, in order to combat climate change, you want to move the moon or the Earth, and if we can do that.
Okay, we were just talking about it before. If no one knows, who it's a senator?
No, he's a representative. So he's a congressman from the House of Representatives. And is it Louis Gohmert? Yeah, Louis Gohmert. And I believe he is the there's a lot of people who refer to a lot of his coworkers or people who work with him, colleagues, refer to him as the dumbest man in the United States Congress. And he had an interaction with the deputy director of the National Forestry Service. At first I saw this headline and it says a representative asked someone if they could move the moon in order to combat climate change. And I was like, oh no. That's a quote taken out of context. There's no way a duly elected representative would ask a question like that. I was so totally wrong. And he asked seriously. This is the exact transcript of what he said. I understand from what's been testified to the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, you want very much to work on the issue of climate change. I was informed by the immediate past director of NASA that they have found that the moon's orbit is changing slightly, and so is the Earth's orbit around the sun. And we know there's been significant solar flare activity. And so is there anything that the National Forest Service or the Bureau of Land Management can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
He's not wrong.
Those are his exact words.
He's not wrong, though. If you could somehow change the orbit of Earth in the solar system, you could cool it down a bit.
I don't know why you would ask the fucking National Forest Service or the Bureau of Land Management why they would know these things.
Why they would know is anyone's guess. It's amazing, like, though.
He is a government official. You know, whenever you see a quote that says government official or something like that, these are the kind of people they could possibly be, this guy. So I don't know, when they quote government officials.
That's great.
This is a person.
All right, let's bring on our first caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, boys, it's Henry calling from Northern California, land of the Sasquatches.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the show, brother.
Been a while since I called.
What do you got for us tonight?
So I didn't know if I was going crazy or not, but I'm glad it was. The show's actually going on tonight. I was having a hard time figuring out if it was or not.
You got it.
So previously, I called, given some stories, and, you know, I haven't had a chance to bring up a theory of mine, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I recently re-listened to the Freddie Silva crop circle case file and got my theory juices flowing.
Hell yeah. Let's hear it.
So I was thinking, because, you know, kind of like the key to fame for a lot of these, you know, crop circle cases are, oh, the corn can't be pressed down the way it is. You know, like the stalks aren't broken. You know, they have that in Signs too, the movie. They were like, well, nobody could pull this off. How are they able to bend the corn stalk so perfectly? And it just came to me. I'm like, well, microwaves work by vibrating water molecules. Mm-hmm. And that's why stuff gets hot in the microwave, because it's just shaking all the water in said food. So if you put something dry in there, it doesn't do crap because there's hardly any moisture in it. It'll just start burning instead. And so I was like, well, if there's some super intelligent, advanced alien race, and they're trying to use crop circles for whatever reason, you know, be it markings or whatever, communication, you'd think they'd have some sort of technology that would allow them to manipulate the electromagnetic spectrum a little more, not just microwaves. But, you know, it kind of makes sense that, hey, maybe if they are able to fly through space, maybe they can also, you know, just barely sink in on crops, on the stalks, to not damage them, but put them down with some fat electromagnetic radiation or whatever to make them bend, but not just snap them.
Right. Yeah, I think you hit it. I think that's what a lot of those crop circle researchers say, is like, it looks like some type of like, some energy had not bent or broken the stalk, but actually like changed how it like grew sideways really quick on the node, right? It got like fused sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would think it would have to be some other source of radiation besides microwave, because then you would just have fields full. If, like you said, cornfields, you'd have cornfields full of popcorn.
Yeah, the node would just like explode. Yeah, exactly.
I think we'd all notice that.
Yeah, so maybe you're right though. Like if you were like an advanced species, like ET race or whatever, and you were trying to say they are trying to send messages. That's what these things are, hypothetical. Mm-hmm. And that's how you would, you're pretty much changing the molecular structure of this, of these things. You're not microwaving them, but you're doing something to them
on a molecular level.
Yeah.
So and I'd have to be like, I don't know.
Since, I don't know what,
you know,
but
for theories, just to challenge that theory, I'd have to say, okay, if they have the ability to manipulate the electromagnetic spectrum, like radio signals are on the electromagnetic spectrum as well. Why would crop circles? Why do you think that crop circles would be a more efficient way to give information to us? Or why is that the best option that they could come up with?
Absolutely no idea. And that's the fun of it.
That is true.
You know, if they've got anti-gravitic tech or whatever there is, you know, or if they're, like you said, able to manipulate, like I said too, the electromagnetic spectrum, it's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, that involves shifting light, which is also in the electromagnetic spectrum, the visible light spectrum. So there's just that kind of opens up a whole chain. That's why I just compared it to microwave stuff, because that's the closest thing we've got.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would turn it to popcorn if we tried to do something like that.
Yeah, if you had a microwave beam from space, let's say, and you aimed it at a field, the whole field would just kind of like all the stalks exactly. would just explode. But yeah, no, the crop circles, I mean, Freddie Silva's awesome, and he like did a ton of research into it, and there was,
oh yeah, I love that episode.
And obviously there was lots that were fake, that's, but there was many that seemed to disappear out of nowhere with no footprints or anything. You're like, that were so crazy, and the way the stalks laid down, you're like, this just seems, it just seems alien, right? It just looks and felt alien.
Yeah, I can't remember, did they it's my understanding that most of the crop circles I know just off the top of my head are mostly like wheat fields and grass fields. Like, were there actual ones that were corn stalks? Because I know they talk about how corn stalks would be a lot more difficult to...
No, yeah, it was like canola fields and other types of fields. And I think there has been a couple in corn or maize. I think some of those are in North America, though.
Okay.
I think that you get it from... People get confused because it was in signs was cornfields, right?
Right.
So everyone thinks it's in cornfields, but it's in many other crops.
Right. Well, and that was an artistic choice on Shyamalan's part because it would be scarier.
Scarier if you...
Yeah, yeah.
If the stalks are taller than people and like you don't know what's
right,
in
right.
there. Yeah, no, that's...
And then it kind of gets interesting because... Oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, keep going.
I was just going to say it kind of gets interesting because we're talking about different crops, and obviously different crops are going to have different water content too, so... Maybe that's why they're going for, you know, like you say, wheat and things like that, because they don't necessarily have as much. So maybe they're easier to work with for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be.
It's fun to theorize about crop circles because, I mean, once you hear Freddie Silva talk about them, you can't help but be intrigued. It's just so fun.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, anything Freddie Silva talks about turns into fun. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Henry.
Thanks for having me. Glad Cosmic Channels is back. Have a good night, boys.
Talk to you later. Boom. Call one. Crop circles are fun.
Crop circles are cool.
I mean, there was a few guys, what was it, like Dan and Dave or whatever, who ran around with boards and
2x4s and stuff. I mean, that's still cool. Like,
it's impressive.
Giant, you know, art project. I was like, those are pretty neat.
It was impressive. Sure. Some of the ones they claim to do, but there's... As Freddie Silva said, there's like, yeah, there was, you know, 9 crop circles reported in one night. There's no way they did them all.
No.
So there's either, I mean, it has spawned many different groups of hoaxers who do it now, and they make like very elaborate like art pieces and fields. It's like, it's really cool, but it's hard.
I'd have to wonder if it was like, I'd also have to wonder like, you know, that brings up the idea that, like he said, a differing water content that would depend on like what season that the grass was growing in. I would assume like whether it's been harvested or not, or
a lot of variables.
Things like what is it a conscious choice by these whatever's making these crop circles? I'd have to see the data. I mean, that's a question I'd like answered. I have to look more into.
Yeah, because there's that one. I mean, it's been a while since we talked about him, but the one that Freddie Silva put on Secrets in the Fields as his like cover picture is like a frequency representation of, I can't remember what frequency, but if you play it on like a cymatic plate, like, you know, play sound through a plate,
right,
and there's salt on it, it'll take a shape. And it's like that shape is in the field. And I can't remember what frequency, it's been a long time, but a lot of cool stuff with crop circles. You don't really hear about them anymore, really.
No, right? I think they've been died off, or they probably, most of them get written off as hoaxes, or the farmers are really pissed
that they just get half their field ruined.
Yeah, you know,
$10,000 worth of crops at a time just get flattened.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I wonder if it were hoaxers, like it would probably be more likely that they did it like after the harvesting had gotten done, you know, so like that way the farmers wouldn't be as mad, or the farmer would be in on it. Like something like that, possibly. Yeah. That's how my thinking goes.
If you're watching live and you want to call in, the number is on the screen. You can't miss it. If you don't have a story and you just want to give a theory.
Yeah, Henry just gave us a great theory.
You want to ask Dan about the origins of the universe and all that? Just call in. No big deal. He's got the answers.
Probably. Yeah,
he's got them.
Are they good answers? No.
No, but he'll give you one.
I got answers.
He'll give you something.
No problem. I'll talk about whatever.
We were just talking about that Emma Barr. Does anyone know if crop circles are still occurring? I'm sure they are. That is not, you don't hear about them. They're a localized story. They don't get like global press.
It's kind of one of those things, I think, where if one gets proven as a hoax, then the rest of them get written off as hoaxes.
Yeah. It's easy just to get rid of them at that point.
You know, even as fantastic as the crop circle even is, or elaborate, they probably still write it off as a hoax. Like somebody figured out a way to do it. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't make the news. I don't know. You have to check local newspapers, the really rural newspapers. Maybe they pop up every now and then, but I don't think they get it. I mean, people still go to some of those places. I think, you know, and I think Freddie Silva still talks about it in some of the books, where people still go there for the, you know, residual vibrational,
the spiritual effects hang out there. Yeah. You go lay in the fields and like you're stargazing in places where crop circles have been in the past.
Yeah.
Which if I was in England and like some of the hot spots, I would do it. I'd check it out if I could.
Why not? Take a nap.
Do some mushrooms. Oh, whatever. To each their own. Cosmic Channels is live. I know there's people watching. Just call. Fuck you. Call us.
Yeah, fuck you. Call us.
Call us.
With whatever.
With whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. The show is for you. And if not, then me and Dan will sit here and just talk.
Yeah, we'll just talk about dumb stuff all the time. But, you know, give us something to talk about. Yeah. You know, crop circles is fine. You want to ask us about Sasquatch? You want to talk us about fucking anything, really? It's Cosmic Channel, so it's pretty much anything. Except, you know, if you want us to talk about dreams or something, I don't want to talk about that.
We don't do dreams. I mean,
dreams.
People know
Dream
that.
Police are going to come out, man. Like, they come out and get us.
If you're too, you don't want to call and you want to give a topic or a question in the chat, that is fine. We'll shoot it in chat.
That's fine too. No, you don't want to call, a little too anxious, a little too embarrassed. That's fine too. Shoot it in chat. That's what it's there for.
For Dan, I believe, do more of those raps from high school.
What raps from high school?
You did that MC. You did that one rap one time. Yeah.
Oh, I only did the first verse, right?
And you fucking just smashed out of nowhere. It was hilarious. Oh, we got to call
it. That's the only rap song that I know.
And you know what?
You open like the Tauntaun, faster than the Autobahn, oh, motorbike and try and do the deed, and then I'm gone. Jabba has a hissy fit, Kong, Calrissian, force overcoat for some politic, it's legit. Back in the days when I was a slave, living life in the fast lane, like in a pod race. Mean streak tweaked, I became a best case, so the space says, quit that pace, post haste. So took a noble cause, called the Clone Wars. Life's not all about girls and cars. Get fucked up and fucked up, Barcy. I'm not, and something, something, something.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we got a caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, this is Noah, everybody. How are you two doing tonight?
Doing good, Noah.
What's going on, Noah?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I got to say, Dan, that was another badass rap right there.
Dan kills him.
Thank MC Chris.
So I wasn't really going to call in tonight because I was just going to be a casual viewer, just enjoy it. But then early this morning, I was starting to watch his clips on this show, Moment of Truth. And I found out that a certain Travis Walton was on there. And I started watching this show and I was thinking, oh, you know, this is an interesting show. This is interesting. I wonder if the guys talked about this. Lo and behold, I asked on Discord and then Andrew popped up. He says it was a show. Told me which case I to look on, and so I watched it, and I kept really hearing the podcast, and then went back and watching the show that he was on, and I kept seeing different information being tossed around from both sides, and I was like, maybe this would be an interesting thing to call on to see if you'd be interested to hear what he had said on the show, Moment of Truth.
About
so you're talking
Walton?
About the Moment of Truth where they say they hook somebody up to a lie detector or a polygraph and then they have the robot voice tell them if it's true or false. You're talking about that one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah. Give us the quick spark notes.
So some of the things, say, so I, obviously the last question they asked him was he abducted by UFO? He says yes, and the answer was false. But every other question before that, he had answered truthfully. And some of the things that he had said I thought was very interesting. One of the things from your podcast is that Andrew mentioned that his dad was like very obsessed with UFOs, like crazily obsessed. And Travis Walton was like, I mean, yeah, it was mentioned here and there, but it wasn't like they were obsessed or anything. It's like passing conversation. And I was like, okay, interesting. And then when they asked him if he had been diagnosed with any mental illnesses or disorders, he said his answer was, I have to technically say yes, but I also have to explain. And the whole thing that he says here, and this is one I really wanted to get your insights on, is this is what he says for his answer why he said it was, that he had to say yes to this. He says, and I quote, one of these psychologists who witnessed this regressive hypnosis concluded that I was telling the truth. However, since he didn't believe in UFOs, he had to come up with something to rationalize in his opinion. So he had diagnosed me with transitory psychosis and that I had a delusion that this had occurred to me. What he didn't explain was how my six coworkers were telling the truth. So I went through I can't read my own handwriting sometimes. I went through a battery of psychiatric examinations and had a perfectly normal pattern good God, I suck at my handwriting sucks.
Dude, mine too. I can't read my own writing at all. I can't do it. I have to type. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so yeah, he had a perfectly normal pattern of tests is what I think it. Pattern of scores with these experts.
Right. So his brain seemed normal. Is what from the panel of experts it seemed like he was just a regular dude.
Yes, but I don't. Yes, but the thing is though is that for during the entire show he seemed very calm. He seemed like a normal guy, but when that came up, I was like, you know, I. Something about it didn't click with me, and I just wanted to know how you guys felt about that.
So they asked him, you know, with polygraph tests, they have to ask you yes or no. It's not like you have to qualify your answers, right? So they asked him yes or no. They're right. Well, have you ever been diagnosed with a mental illness? Is that how they phrased it?
With a mental disorder.
Mental disorder. So if he said he'd have to say yes, because he had technically been diagnosed with a medical disorder. But whether that was a misdiagnosis or not, so he would have to say yes, or it would throw all this doubt on all his other
questions,
answers. Right. So he but they let him, they allowed him to qualify that on the show. He told them this guy had to write something down. He had to put something on paper saying I was delusional or whatever. Then I went to another. I went to another. Is that? Am I getting that right? He went to another. Went through another battery of tests that showed that that he was pretty normal.
That is correct. That is exactly what he said.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So I mean, yeah. He had to answer yes, and then he qualified the answer. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Because the polygraph doesn't tell.
I know. I was just there's just sometimes I kept watching. I was like, it was like that one. And then they brought in some guy who writes magazines disproving theories. So I don't know. Remember that he runs a magazine. Some guy, it's an individual named Michael. I don't remember his last name, but they brought him on. And that was another moment where I thought, I don't know if I can buy into this story or this guy too much, because that's when he really started fighting back with this person who didn't believe him, whatnot, and kept, and it was like back and forth with them for a minute, and then I was like, I'm not buying into that much of a story. I really wanted to call and see how everyone's thoughts were. I can send you the link to the video if you want. I mean, that's up to you though.
Hey, if you put it in the chat, if someone wants to watch it, then you can they can look for themselves. As far as Travis Walton, I mean, we've met him in person.
Yeah.
And I've
Brayden has his doubts. Really? He shook the man's hand.
We shook his hand and we talked to him. Felt like something was off about Walton. When I talked, that's the polite way to say it. When I met him personally, and that could be if, say, you did experience a traumatic.
He was no Bob Gimlin.
Yeah. If you experience a traumatic abduction, his story is 100% true. It would make sense what it would do to your like psychological well-being. I could see that. So if he was abducted and all the stuff he said is true, I could see why he would like how he is as a person because of it. So, but just from meeting, I can't tell if because the story, it's been a while since we did the case file. And I think our conclusions were it's a great UFO story, like abduction story. But there was, you know, there was a lot of stuff we were wondering at the end. And I just feel like he's never really given all the answers. Even on, he was on Joe Rogan and he didn't even give all the answers, right? He gave the classic tale that he was with his five or six buddies. He seen the blue light. He got shocked. They thought he was dead. They left him. And then they found him 5 days later in a phone booth, you know, whatever it was. And he had a 5 day beard.
Yeah.
But it's a good story. I don't know. I don't know what my final thoughts of Travis Walton.
I always take those like truth detector shows with the, you know, they want everything to be fantastic and they want everything to kind of subvert your expectations. So whether it is, I know I've seen bits and pieces of that show, Moment of Truth, and it's always like the end, they ask the big question at the end and then you have to wait like a solid minute before the little robot voice tells you what you're not expecting. And then everybody goes, you know, get that classic reaction. But I think those shows are engineered that way. You know, especially there's so many, that's why they have like professional, I don't know 100% how the show works also. So, cause I'm not a regular watcher. So I don't know if they have like 100% trained polygraph people, even though polygraphs have been kind of written off even in courts of law, they're not admissible as evidence anymore, really. So I don't know. Like anything that has to do with a polygraph or a lie detector. I always kind of read. I was like, kind of like, well, there's a bunch of stuff that could be, you know, it could be the wrong time of day to ask somebody a question and it gets messed up. Like polygraphs are not 100% accurate.
No, they can give you a good like baseline to someone, but you can never use that in court or you can never like make solid conclusions based on a polygraph.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of stuff you can do to mess with the polygraph. Like it's.
Yeah. Now on a scale of in the chat, a zero to Gimlin. I mean, Travis Walton's case, because there's a lot of cool stuff about it, but a lot of holes. I'm going to place it, you know, I'm going to give it like a four. Four, yeah. From zero. Gimlin was like, you know, he's legit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give him a four because there's a lot to it.
I'd rather.
But
that's how I'd rate his handshake.
Yeah. Handshake, zero.
Yeah.
Zero. And also in the chat, is the scale now a Travis to Gimlin? No, we can't quite do that.
Well, he's not in the middle.
Yeah, he's not in the middle.
We have to figure out who do we put in the middle yet.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Noah. Thanks for the question.
Oh, of course. Anytime. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye. Yeah, the Walton case. It's been a while since we dove into it. I mean, it is one of the bigger cases.
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Classic.
We're looking into it. You know, I know there's plenty of people who have been traumatized by the Fire in the Sky movie. Whenever they showed it on TV, like in the representation of the extraterrestrials that took him, always scared the shit out of me.
I've never actually seen it. I've never seen Fire in the Sky. Is it Fire in the Sky?
Yeah, Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Travis Walton movie. Like that's what it is. And I don't know. They just did the special effects in that movie. Actually, I haven't watched it like recently, so I don't know if the special effects hold up. But I just remember like very firmly in my mind, like the image of the alien that the aliens that take him.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Creep the shit out of me. I know I've seen stills from the movie still. And it's like, I was like, those are some of the best scary looking aliens that to creep you out. Yeah, not the scariest looking aliens. Xenomorphs. 100% scary.
100% the scariest they're like creature creepy, ever made.
You know, yeah. That's where I put them.
Walton. I mean, I feel like you get more out of Walton if you interviewed him like with no recording device and you just talk to him. I think you get more. But as soon as he's on camera or on mic, because he's told the story so many times, I feel like he's very cautious.
Yeah. He even has a really good mustache too.
Excellent. Excellent mustache.
Yeah. But fucking just, yeah, I don't know. Like when we met him, I mean, you could say, you know, he'd been there at the convention for a while. He's fatigued. Probably been shaking so many hands.
Yeah.
He's just tired. But, you know, you just talk to him. He seemed really distracted and stuff like that. Then again, who knows? Yeah,
who knows? I know. I can't say either way, but lower on the Gimlin scale for sure. All right. We got another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, brother. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I won't give my name just in case like someone I know is watching.
No worries, but, man.
I'm calling from Western Australia.
Western Australia? Like Perth or?
Yeah. No, like just south of Perth, like smaller, 2 or 3 hours.
Smaller city? Gotcha.
Yeah, something like that.
Good enough for this show, man. What do you got for us?
So I got a bit of a story that's like kind of, it's not like a big story over here, but my parents live in this town that's like, it's not full on in the sticks, but it's like pretty far away from everything. Like
half
the closest
sticks?
Town. This is like a, yeah, it's like half sticks, half like sticks. an hour and a half away from anywhere. And that like where they actually live, it's just like in the forest. Like there's no, it's like satellite internet. There's no proper like phone lines or anything like that. It's pretty far out there. But in like the last like 10 years, actually, no, sorry, it was around like 2011 it ended. I think there was like a cult in the town that was just like a small family. One of these instances where like one person's just kind of got like a family into their cult, and it's the guy had like assumed someone else's identity that he stole from England and stuff like that. But that's like not the actual story that I'm calling about. What? It's just some background.
No, I want to hear that story.
Oh, what the fuck?
I want to hear that story.
we'll
come back to it.
More information.
Call in again.
Yeah, we'll come back to that time. One.
But, okay, tell us the original story, but I'm going to hear that one.
But the story I like is something more that's happened to like my family or like and a few people around the town is that there's been a few instances where people have like seen people in the forest, like seeing someone, but every single time to actually like go to check out because it's pretty out there. So like if you see someone just like walking around in the forest, they kind of like go check in on them, make sure they're doing all right. But every single time they go there, the person like runs off or like he's gone. So I've seen it a few times when I've like been driving there to visit my parents. I'll be driving along. I'm pretty sure I see someone in the forest, but I'm not too sure. And I'm like in the middle of fucking nowhere. So there's not really any back roads that they're going to be parked on. And there's no cars around. And a few people have seen like caravans and stuff in the forest, just or like shelters just built into the forest, where and no one really knows. Like there's a couple of people who are like old hippies who are just might live in a caravan on the back of someone's block, and everyone's block's pretty big, but there's not really a knowledge of anyone that's just like camping in the forest. But recently, my dad was like, out chopping wood. With someone else, and there's like, it's pretty hilly, so they were on like one hill, and they could see on the next hill there was someone there that was like, they looked to be watching them. He said, so they got in the ute and like drove over to check on the dude, and when they got there, the guy had gone, but he was on like the next hill over again, but like they couldn't see a car anywhere. There wasn't really, it didn't look like there was any like car tracks and shit like that or anything, and then. Again, they jumped in the car and drove over to see the guy, and they could see him like moving around, so they knew it was actually like somebody or something, I guess. And by the time they got there, the guy just disappeared and they like couldn't see him. But there's heaps of other stories, which is like people be driving along or they're like out in the forest doing something. And
they're just like they look people. To be normal people. They're like normally proportioned, just like,
yeah, it's usually like too far away to be able to make any like explicit details. Like if you saw them in a lineup, you wouldn't be able to like recognize them, but they can definitely tell that they're like at least a bipedal figure. Saying it's Sasquatch or anything.
Well, I'm gonna say I'm coming from the angle like it's not a Yowie or something. It's not an Australian Bigfoot. It's they look to be normally proportioned people.
Yeah, it looks to be like a normal sized person, like an adult. Okay,
right. Sure.
Probably like a bit skinny, but I don't know. I just thought it was like.
But no one seems to be able to get close enough though to them.
I've watched enough Australian horror movies to know how this shit turns out.
Yeah, every time someone gets close enough, it's like the person just disappears. So
yeah, they disappear, and they see, and then that one thing you said, like they're on like the next hill over it, and there didn't seem like they should have been able to make it there.
And then
fast.
It turns out that there's an ancient burial ground underneath your town, and they move the headstones, but not the graves. And that's how that
it's
works.
Quite possible, to be honest.
So what do you think?
I've got another...
No, but let's stay on that for just a quick sec.
I don't know, like, I don't really have any, like, theories myself. Like, when I've seen stuff like that, it's like one of those instances where they're not close enough to really make out any details. It's more like a shadow kind of thing. Like, it's like, I don't really know how to explain it. If you see someone too far, it's just like they're more of just like a color rather than an actual figure with.
You just see the detail. Outline. Just see the outline of a person.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about the, you know, we just talked about the what was it? The Makai Gendai incident. About them living out there on that large piece of land. Like, we don't know if they were living there. How is there like a weird nomadic culture within Australia? Are there people who just like you said, are there people that just drive around their caravans and just plop down wherever, like some unincorporated land, and they just like stay there for a while and then move on?
Not really like staying. If they do, they're always in caravan parks usually. Oh, there's like some areas where it's like there'll be like a national park where it's not a designated area, but like they'll have areas that people generally go to camp and like bring their trailers. Like people, there's definitely people who just like pack up all their crap and then just take their caravan and live out of their caravan for months at a time. But I don't think there's like a specific, like, it doesn't seem there's a specific group of people who go do that kind of thing.
Right. I'm wondering if it's some kind of like Aussie hermits just like going around.
Yeah.
Living on land and whatever, like, you know, the solitary life or something like that. But if that's not a big thing in Australia, then yeah.
There was a lot of the indigenous cultures did that kind of thing. That moved around a fair bit with the seasons and stuff like that. So I don't know if there's any connections there. But like, there's so much area where there's just not many people. Like the population density is like nothing because...
Well, Australia is like the least densely populated country on Earth, or something.
Right, the further you go in, the less people there is. Right, like it's just
like a nothing. red desert. The whole fucking country, pretty much.
Yeah, I've got a friend who works as an ambulance person. I can't remember the name, like EMT.
Yep.
And there's like three or four of them for nearly. If you look at like the central part of like Northern Territory in Australia, there's about three or four people working in the ambulance there, and it's just. Because it's so far away that like there's just nobody around.
You gotta drive eight hours to get to the call.
Yeah. There was another like mini conspiracy I heard, mostly because my dad's like full on believes it, in that I think you guys might have mentioned it a tiny bit in one of the past episodes about like Tasmanian tigers or whatever that are extinct.
Fuck, what are they called? Yeah, Tasmanian
tiger. Tasmanian
tigers, like thylacine or whatever.
There's
like a pretty big thing about how like people full on believe that there's like a little in like one of the national parks that there's like a little shelter for them that the government's like hiding because they don't want like
on the mainland Australia.
Oh no, in Tasmania.
Oh, in Tasmania. But, okay.
Like in the forest, because like there's just a lot of forest there as well, but.
Right.
They reckon that they're like the government's hiding them so people don't like go hunt them or like kill them or do whatever things that people do.
Maybe,
yeah. Fuck.
I know they've talked about. There's the one program that they want to genetically, you know, reclaim
bring them back. Whatever.
We have it. I think they have enough genetic material to potentially clone one, but I'm not sure. I know there's the thylacine project. Like that's the actual, like the official. I think that scientists like working on it, so I don't know. I'd have to check back in on that. If there was a native population like still surviving, maybe they wouldn't tell anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, you can look up into that. There's people who have like posted photos online, but they usually can't be for ones they're really blurry.
Right.
Obviously, it's not a man in a suit, though. So.
Yeah. No kidding.
Well, you don't know that.
A small man in a four-legged suit.
You don't know that. Could be.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Yeah.
Call us back with that cult story.
Yeah, get back with the cult story another time.
All right, I will do.
Right on. Cheers. Boom. I was going to ask, I forgot to ask if there's any stories of anyone getting eaten around there. Cannibals.
Yeah, Australian cannibals.
Australian cannibals. Cannibals. Or is it?
I've seen enough Australian horror movies that it's either a town that sacrifices kids, or it is. I think it's. I don't really have. I have like warthogs and stuff, but fucking crazy caravan. What was it? There's like a couple where it's just like caravan drivers, like evil caravan drivers.
What's the line? I remember what's it called, like Wolf Creek or something, where like the guy just like disconnects your battery and he's like, oh, I'll help you out. Yep. And then he just ends up killing everybody. And that was based on a true story, I believe. The guy killed like 20 people or something. Just like backpackers and shit.
Australia is a crazy place.
It's crazy. It's so big and no one lives there. Like Canada's, it's like Canada, but like more sparsely populated.
Yeah, but a lot of it is like uninhabited, you know? It's like, it's like uninhabitable.
It's uninhabitable. Exactly. Like Canada's got a ton of small cities and towns all over Canada. You're always within like a couple hours of some small town, but Australia, it's like 85% of the people live in like the three or four big cities.
Yeah. And it's just a bunch of desert inside.
Oh,
like
man.
It's nowhere you'd want to live. Like you wouldn't possibly want to live there.
I remember flying from, I think I flew from Cairns to Alice Springs because I wanted to do like an overnight camping trip around Uluru, the big granite rock in the middle of the desert. I remember being in the plane and flying. It was like, I can't remember how many hours, like 4 or 5 hour flight. And it was desert forever. I was like, man, this is an insane place. And then you get down and there's like a town in the middle of Australia, just randomly, just a small fucking town. And like, there's, like, I don't know, a few thousand people, mainly like indigenous people and like tourism for Uluru. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy country. Fun though. Like the East Coast. I never went Western Australia. I did Melbourne all the way up the coast to Cairns as a tour, but.
I think we did, I went to Melbourne when I was in the Navy. We did a ship. Like we went around, like we went to Melbourne and we went to like Cairns and then we went to one more. I can't remember.
Oh, so you did like the whole coast tour?
Yeah, we did like, we went to Melbourne, then we went to like down there at the bottom, and then we were like over to the top. And that was it. Like, yeah, we just went to those ones. It was a fun time. It's a good time. But yeah, it's just like, it's a huge, it's a continent.
It's huge. Yeah, it's fucking massive.
And so like the climate differs from place to place. Like it's the environment changing, things like that. Cause I was watching, they have that one great documentary about the production of Dr. Moreau's Island, the one with Val Kilmer and, what's his name? Guy from The Godfather. I can't,
my pop culture is terrible.
God damn it. The one with Val Kilmer and what's his name? He's a legendary actor and I can't get his name in my head. And like, just like when they talked about like, they were trying to produce in like this one place of Australia and they're like, yeah, it is the wettest place in Australia. It just like rains like all the time. So they couldn't like get anything done. Just rains too much. And they're just like, they're sitting there, there's days where they couldn't do anything. And it was just like, it was a nightmare of a production. It's like Island of Lost Souls or something like that. Like if you ever want to watch a crazy movie about movie productions, like that's a really good one to fucking watch.
Just about the making of that movie.
And making it about that movie and how terrible it was. It was a terrible movie. And, but the production of it is just like the director ended up like going crazy, like losing his mind. And then like they try to have people escort him to the airport. And then when they got to the airport, like he was gone, like he was supposed to leave. They fired him. The first director, they fired him. And then they brought in another director and they were supposed to escort him to the airport. And like when he went to the airport, he like disappeared.
Like he ran away.
Yeah. He like ran away he didn't get on the plane. He didn't get on the plane. But I'm not going to give it away because the story is crazy. Like, you ever want to fucking
watch it?
It's a really good.
Fucking watch it.
It's a nutso story. 1996 film with Marlon Brando. That's it. God damn.
Marlon Brando. Oh, wasn't that? Didn't he play Superman too?
He played Superman's dad.
Superman's dad.
Yeah.
There it is.
Jor-El. In the movie, but yeah, that movie is just craziest thing I've ever heard of. Like the story, like just the story about it. I think that director recently, like, just got into good graces back with Hollywood, because he pulled a whole bunch of crazy shit during that thing, and just
took him years to get back.
And it was also in the era where Val Kilmer had gone like full asshole. Like, I don't ever think he's been not good to work with, but like he was like full on like Val Kilmer giant head. I am the greatest actor alive. Like, there were points where he said he wouldn't come out of his trailer because Marlon Brando wouldn't come out. Marlon Brando was also pretty crazy at that point too. And like, he wouldn't come out of his trailer until Marlon Brando would come out of his trailer. And like, they would just go a whole day. Couldn't get them out of their trailers.
They both wanted to be last man on set.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I'm better than that bitch.
It's like, what? I was like, Val Kilmer's never been that big. Has he?
Has he? Yeah. Has he?
I thought someone was like,
I don't know. I know it was like a 90s action star.
I was like, he wasn't even that good at Batman.
I just know him as like a 90s action star. Like, I don't know.
He's in Top Gun too. And I was all right. Like, he's okay in some stuff. And I'm just like, okay. But I'm like, I was like, he's not Marlon Brando good. Like,
all right. Fuck you guys. Call us. Let's go.
Fuck you. Call us. You want to talk about?
Let's go.
Dr. Monroe. You want to talk about whatever?
We're doing the 1 minute countdown.
This is what we get for not pumping the show, though. It's our fault.
It's our fault. We did not advertise Cosmic Channels. I mean, we did say every second and fourth Sunday of every month.
Nobody's going to remember that.
Which would put it today.
So nobody's going to remember that. No, you tell people like two separate days and not like every day of the week, I'm not going to remember it.
Yeah. If it's not every Sunday of the month, what day is it again? You're like,
yeah,
fuck. So we'll do better for the next one. We've been pumping out too much content. That's why we're getting, can't forget about Cosmic Channels here. They got some good calls today though.
Yeah.
I liked them.
I was like, in terms of content, we've just been pumping out so much. I feel like we're always doing something now with the interview series and like Contact in the Desert stuff. I feel like we're doing stuff like all the time now.
We've been doing triple what we used to, which is fun. Keeps us busy.
Mm-hmm. Interviews have been fun. So it's like, yeah, we're just getting this stuff out. But, you know, we have Cosmic Channels here too. Now it's back on the main feed. But we didn't push it out. We didn't pump it out as much as we should have.
We didn't get it out early enough is what happened. No. But so if you're now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're either watching this or listening to the podcast version, the next Cosmic Channels will be June 27th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. So now you know the exact day for next time.
Unless you're listening to this way later.
Unless you're past that, then you should probably check in and find the right day.
Yeah, all you got to do is check our socials and stuff. We usually post it on there.
Be on stories, socials, Instagram, Twitter.
I definitely know the schedule changes has messed some people up.
Yeah, from every week to every other week. However, there is an answering machine. And you can leave. Sure. You can leave a message. I wonder if I didn't. Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up. Maybe there's a message I can find. Oh,
it's gonna be like an 8-hour long message. Somebody butt dialed us.
I just answered. They hung up. Call back. Call right back. I'll pick it up. There's an answering machine. Maybe there's some call. Our virtual service. Shout out to Call Hippo. Anyone can get your own toll free number if you want.
Yeah. Have your own call-in show.
It's not that expensive. Okay, check here. Voicemails. Somewhere there's a fucking voicemail. Activity feed. There's a voicemail from 43-second voicemail on... Oh, fucking today. Missed you. Oh, they called right back. Never mind. How do I fucking play it though? we got a call anyway. Fuck the voicemail. We got a real call.
Hello. Got a live one on the line.
Cosmic Channels. What's up? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How's it going? Julian from Dallas, Texas again.
Oh, welcome back to the show.
Yes, sir. What are you guys talking about tonight?
Whatever you want. We're taking stories, theories, questions, whatever you got for us.
Okay, cool. So, I got two pretty good paranormal stories if you want to hear about them.
Let's start with one, and then we'll see if we get to the second one.
All right. So, the first one starts back in San Diego. I think it was about 2016. Me and my wife and my daughter had just moved there from North Carolina, where I was stationed at before. So we moved into this house. I want to say it was just north of downtown San Diego. It was military housing, so it was pretty old. But so while we were staying there, my wife didn't tell me until one day we were having an argument. So one day we're having an argument, and I forget what it was about. All I remember is I went upstairs to get ready because we were going out. Go upstairs, get my stuff, get in the shower. While I'm taking a shower, I hear the door slam, or like wall shaking hard. And then I hear it the second time. Now, both windows upstairs are closed, and everybody was downstairs. It was just me upstairs. And I had left the closet door open before I went in, because we always tend to keep it open. And I left the room door open. When I walked out and was ready to go, I noticed that both doors are, like, shut. So I go downstairs, and me and my wife kind of started the argument again, but she's yelling at me for the way I slammed the door. And I'm thinking that she slammed the door, and that's when it both hit us that if nobody did it. So we start asking my daughter and her brother, who was staying with us at the time for vacation, and just no one knew anything of what was going on. But then my wife started telling me about this guy that constantly would stand over my side of the bed at night when we were sleeping, which is kind of weird. And at that point, I didn't believe her, but I started seeing strange things one night. I remember one night my wife told me to go check on my daughter upstairs while she was sleeping. And as I was hit the stairwell and I was about to go upstairs, I just see this black shadow just dive behind like one of the railing at the top of the stairs. So I couldn't see it. And I thought maybe it was my daughter, but I was kind of scared. And I went back and I was like, oh, I just saw some weird shadow behind the stairs. She was like, okay, go check on our daughter. I was like, are you crazy? There's something weird upstairs. But she was like, really? So I married a dude in the military and you're scared of everything? I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. So I turn on the lights at the stairwell and I go upstairs. And this is how I know it couldn't have been me, because there was no lights on. But I distinctly saw this shadow.
Right.
So then I go upstairs and I get upstairs and I turn into our bedroom where she was laying down. And I see this shadow jump behind my side of the bed. And I see my daughter already not, like, she's snoring on the bed. I was like, oh, shit.
Not your daughter.
It was just, yeah, definitely not my daughter. She was asleep. So then my wife started telling me, because she has, like, this, I don't know how to explain it, but a lot of the women in the family on her side, on her dad's side, have, like, this extra sense. Or have this weird thing, like my wife's seen certain things and has experienced a lot of weird paranormal things growing up. So she told me about this person and how it gives off a really negative energy when she sleeps, and it constantly bugs her at night. And she really couldn't sleep, so it made it that much worse.
Right.
But I was kind of happened when we finally moved out, because we realized that it was weird energy, weird thing. Her mom told us that one day she was downstairs in the living room when I was at work and my daughter was out with the kids at the park, and my mother-in-law actually saw this weird shadow like standing over for like an instant, and then when she like got up, it was gone. So it was just weird.
So wait, you left that house? Like you moved out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it sucked because we had to like muscle it out for a few more months. And it was already pretty hard when we knew that something was there. It was kind of annoying because, you know, military housing, it's impossible to break a lease without them like trying to charge you an arm and a leg on the way out. So we ended up having to stay there for a few more months. But the moment that it ended, like we were out the door, everything packed, like, yeah.
And nothing followed you to your new place or anything?
No. Thank God none of that happened. except for one thing, but I feel like it just follows my wife's family around, which is the second part of this paranormal story, which is, so it's like every generation of kids has had this experience with this weird lady in a robe. My wife only remembers it happening to her youngest brother one night when they were little, and he kept talking about how, because this is when they were living in New York City, and he kept talking about how there was this weird lady in a hood that kept calling him to go outside and play. Meanwhile, they lived on the second to last floor of this apartment building, and there was no fire escape in like around that window, and it kept calling him to come outside and play. So I thought that was just a weird story, but then the same thing would happen to my daughter as well when she was little, where she would describe this lady keep asking her to come outside and play, also, or like around a window where there's just no way to be up there, and she would describe how she was just floating there and kept calling her. And then we experienced it again recently, about a year, I'm going to say about a year and a half ago, with my youngest son, where he was screaming at the window telling whatever was there, leave me alone and I'm going to tell my mom. And when my wife asked him, you know, what's bugging you? Why are you yelling at the window? And he kept describing the lady in the hood. The lady in the hood keeps calling me to come outside to play. And he's like, she looks scary. I don't want to play with her. So I feel like it's a weird generational thing that happens to all, like, the kids in my wife's family.
Like, they're prone to it.
Yeah, it's
so
weird.
It's like they're only when they're kids, them. Do they grow out of it eventually? Like, it just stops coming to them? Is there, like, a frequency to the apparitions? Or is it something that just happens one off, like, and then it's gone, or what?
Like, that's the thing. So it usually starts when they're young, around two, where they could kind of, I guess at that age, they're communicating to us what they see. But it usually stops like around like 4 or 5.
Right.
So it persists for a few years. And I mean, that's how my wife like got it out of my son. It was weird.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, yeah, and in Spanish culture.
So besides that one event with your youngest son, like you said, that was recently. So has it happened since then, or?
No, it actually stopped right around his fourth birthday. Like, we haven't heard anything about it since then.
But before that, had it happened before too as well?
Yeah, it happened when we lived in California, when he was around two, and or like I want to say it was like our last apartment building before we finally moved. And then it happened again when we got to Texas. And that was the last instance, and he was about 3.5-ish. But after he turned four, it kind of never showed up again.
Just went away. Now, what were you saying about in Spanish culture? It's something.
Well, in Spanish culture, it's as if someone had put some type of curse on you.
Are you guys are Hispanic culture? Like, are you guys are you Catholics? Is your wife's family, are they Spanish Catholic or?
I mean, we're Catholic. I mean, we haven't practiced the religion. I stopped practicing when I was like.
No, yeah, I'm just wondering. Do you keep images of the Virgin Mary around your house at all?
We don't, but my mother-in-law does, and so does my mom.
Okay,
we're not. It's weird. We haven't practiced, but my issue is I kind of walked away from it after an argument on Sunday school.
Sure. No, I'm wondering because a lot of times you see the image of Virgin Mary and she has something like she has her shawl up or she has a type of, you know, like something that could be interpreted or as a hood or something like that. I'm wondering if maybe your children kind of pick something up from that, maybe visit the grandparents. But if you don't keep it around your house, like if you don't have those things around your house, I know when I was growing up, my mom had a bunch of yadros. She had the little like ceramic figures and then we had a ceramic like Virgin Mary around the house. And that's one of my big memories from growing up. But yeah, if you don't, that's something I could tick off the list if it's not like prevalent around your house.
Yeah. That's the one thing we really never keep anything religious around in the house. It's more like grandparents' house, but they live back in New York and we live in Texas, so it's not like my kids have been exposed to it like that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's just, I mean, it's just weird.
Definitely weird.
I have one more story that comes to mind, which is kind of, it freaks me out because it's more than I knew about the issues between my mother and my grandmother, but somehow my grandmother told my wife, but yet my wife never met my grandmother, which is weird.
What?
So yeah, like I said, my wife. Yeah, so my wife has, I guess, a way to communicate to the dead, even though she doesn't like it, and it has happened to her on more than one occasion, be it with uncles that have passed away or her grandmother, which for that one for her was important. So, you know what I mean? But this one happened one night when she was sleeping. She had a dream of my grandmother, and my grandmother was telling her basically to tell my mom to stop a lot of the issues that my mom was having. And but the funny thing was, my wife never, ever saw my grandmother, and she's never seen a picture of her. So one day we went to my house, and back to my parents' house, and she was going through a photo album, and she saw a picture of my grandmother. And that's when my wife looked at my mom, and she was like, I've seen this lady in my dreams, and she had a message for me to tell you. Because my grandma had been dead already there for, like, I want to say she's been dead for almost 10 years now. So it was just,
did she describe like identifying features from your grandma? Because I honestly, for me, I wouldn't be able to tell one abuelita from the other. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, it most Hispanic grandmothers look the same to me. Like, did she describe something specific about her that's like, that's how I saw her, like, that's how I know it's her?
Yeah, she described her hair and just her facial, like, everything from her nose to, like, her eyes and the color of her eyes, along with my grandma's curly hair. So she explained to her all that, and then she had known information that my mom hasn't told me, my brother, or my dad, but she's kept in between her and my grandma. So when my wife told her all of that, you know, that moment where that oh shit moment, like, how the hell did you know?
That holy shit moment, yeah.
That's when, yeah, that holy shit moment, they basically got into that conversation. And, I mean, I guess it was more of my mom being more forgiving and, you know, for letting the past be the past and just moving forward. So, I mean, it was a positive, but it's weird that my wife saw that or met my grandma without after actually meeting my grandma and knowing about more intimate details between her relationship and my mother's relationship, which just none of us knew about.
Crazy. Like, that's like a legit, like, I mean, if she can name features and describe your grandma who's been passed away for 10 years in detail enough that your mom would be like, there's no way she'd be able to know this. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. That's the weird thing, because we also, like, I mean, she's never, like, I don't know. It is weird. I really could never explain that one. And just the way everything went down on that one, and the fact that she knew what she knew, but we never even heard about or knew. And then for all that, and my wife, and, you know, my wife and my mom just going into in depth. I don't know. To me, I was like, shit, this is some crazy stuff right here.
No kidding. Hey man, we're going to take one more call for the night, but we thanks for calling back in and telling those. That's pretty nuts, all in all.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Boom. A fucking visual. What do you call that? What do you call that if you can, like, see someone who's,
like, just like a spirit medium.
Spirit medium, yeah. To see, like, defining features, though, that you could explain that.
But yeah, I'd have to be, like, see a picture.
But I know,
I wouldn't be able to tell, like, one Hispanic grandma.
No, dude, I because, like, my grandma, she's, like, her and a whole bunch of other people, immigrated from, like, Slovakia, Czech Republic. And then in their small town of Fokier, BC, there was like, you know, 20 other grandmas that looked just like my grandma. Like they all had like short curly hair. They were like hardworking farm ladies, and they all, like, I could call them all grandma. I'd be like, I don't fucking know. Yeah. They're all grandma to me.
It's always hard for me to be like, if you saw a picture of somebody and been like, I saw that person, like I've 100%. So that's why I asked. I was like, but did you see, like, there was like a wart on her nose, or like, you know, like,
some, how
did
you super defining features? Her? Yeah. Something that you couldn't mistake for someone else.
Like, how is it not your, how do you know it's not your grandma, or, you know, some, you know, in your dream, it could possibly be like an amalgamation of all Hispanic grandmas together. I don't know.
It was a creepy story, though.
For sure, though.
Had my hair standing up on the back of my neck.
Yeah. Some real spirit medium shit going on.
That's great. I mean, that's over an hour, and no call was on hold there. So I think for this episode of Cosmic Channels, that will be all. So stay tuned. 2 weeks. What did I say? What's the next day?
June 27th.
6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Call in, share your stories, your theories. We can't wait to hear them. And these will always be available now as public podcasts on Alien Theorists Theorizing. If you're coming from Cosmic Channels, like the other feed, those will always be there. But from now on, Cosmic Channels' main feed is on Alien Theorists Theorizing. That's fun. I love hearing the stories. Anything else, Dan?
Not much. Nothing.
Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.